We study verse by verse through the Bible and share music filled with God's Word. Let's start today by listening through Acts chapter 20, verses 35 to 38. In all things I gave you an example, that so laboring you ought to help the weak, and to remember the words of the Lord Jesus, that he himself said, "It is more blessed to give than to receive." When he had spoken these things, he knelt down and prayed with them all. They all wept a lot, and fell on Paul's neck and kissed him, sorrowing most of all because of the word which he had spoken, that they should see his face no more. And they accompanied him to the ship. But there are those moments when you get to be a part of God working in someone's life, when he works through you to refresh a mind, heal a heart, or convict a soul. It's all worth it to watch one sinner receive Jesus. It's all worth it to see an individual in tears of joy because the love of Jesus has impacted them. It's a blessing to give. Last month on a ministry trip, I drove 7 hours from Phoenix to Cortez, Colorado, all in one day. Within 5 minutes of my destination, and in a rush to get to the ministry event on time, the car in front of me suddenly veered off the highway down a steep hill and crashed at a high speed into a pile of fallen timber, totaling the vehicle, airbags deployed, with steam and smoke spewing from the engine. It was a no-brainer what I needed to do. So be it if I'd end up being late to the event. These people needed help. I immediately pulled over, navigated through the barbed wire fence towards the crash site and checked on the passengers, who were like in serious shock, and also seemed to be in some pain but conscious. I called 911, and fortunately there just happened to be a first responder vehicle driving by that arrived on the scene fairly quickly. That was an unusual circumstance, but figuratively speaking, how many times are we driving down the quote-unquote highway of the day's calendar list of to-dos and we see a metaphorical crash take place in the side view? Someone needs our attention, our love, our help, our service. Maybe it's a call or text from someone we know. I've seen certain numbers and thought, "Oh man, if I accept this call, well, there goes my day." Are we willing to die to our plans if the Holy Spirit is asking us to do something else in the moment? Maybe it's someone on the sidewalk as we are heading into the grocery store. Are we willing to pull off to the side, set aside our goals and ambitions in the moment, to pour into that person? As we do so, we'll be reminded and experienced that it's better to give than to receive. Whatever God's given you, gifts, talents, abilities, resources, knowledge, experience, time, prayers, let's use them to serve and bless others. Jesus said, "Give and it will be given to you, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, will be put into your lap. For with the measure you use, it will be measured back to you." And that's Luke 6, verse 38. Paul taught, "Whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows bountifully will also reap bountifully." That's 2 Corinthians 9, verse 6. We'll find incredible blessing in offering our lives to God in sacrificial service to others. Paul commands, "I appeal to you therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship." Paul offered his body as a living sacrifice to God in service of Christ and others, and we can too. All right, let's finish off the chapter, starting in verse 36. When he had spoken these things, he knelt down and prayed with them all. They all wept freely and fell on Paul's neck and kissed him, sorrowing most of all because of the word which he had spoken, that they should see his face no more. Then they accompanied him to the ship. Paul was a man of prayer. He constantly prayed on behalf of those whom he served and loved. In his letter to the Ephesian church, for example, he mentions praying for them a couple times. Like in chapter 3, he writes, "I ask you, therefore, not to be discouraged because of my sufferings for you, which are your glory. For this reason I kneel before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name. I pray that out of his glorious riches he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power, together with all the Lord's holy people, to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God." That's verses 13 through 19. Maybe Paul prayed something similar in kneeling fashion when he was with the Ephesian elders before his departure from them. Have you ever had to say goodbye to someone you loved? I think of my 13-year-old daughter. She's growing up way too fast. Every year we celebrate her birthday, it's kind of bittersweet. I'm confronted with the reality that she's now 1 year closer to 18. Someday, feeling like sooner rather than later these days, I'll have to let her go from the shelter of our parental care. She'll have to go off on her own. I'm probably going to be crying like a baby when that day comes, to see her off to college or when she moves out or whatever. Paul no doubt loved his Ephesian family in Christ like a nursing mother her child. It must have been super difficult to have to say goodbye for good, with an expectation that he would not be seeing them again. It's apparent the impact Paul had made on the lives of these Ephesian elders and how they reacted to his departure, with the understanding they would not see him again. They all wept freely, fell on Paul's neck and kissed him. They had an affectionate love and appreciation for the Apostle Paul. I remember one time our music ministry, Adams Road, ministered at a church on the last day of the head pastor's tenure at that church. You could really tell how much some of the congregants loved this man and how much they were going to miss his presence and leadership. It was an intensely emotional gathering, probably in some ways similar to Paul's farewell before the Ephesian elders. I hope that I live in a way before those in my life that if I was called away from them, people would like actually miss me. Like that I contributed something worthwhile in their lives. I poured into people, I served and loved them, so that when I'm gone, the impact will be felt. The opposite scenario would be like Scrooge in A Christmas Carol, when the ghost of Christmas future shows him what people thought about him behind his back, and how news of his death wasn't really cause for mourning, but more so a cause for like celebration that he was no longer around. Paul was a man who lived to love God and love others. His servant leadership made an impact on people's lives. When he left, he was missed. I hope I'm more of a Paul than a Scrooge when it's all said and done. If I'm like reviewing my life someday before the judgment seat of Christ, if that's a thing, will I be embarrassed and ashamed before my Lord? Or will I be overwhelmed and grateful for how God used me to impact others' lives for the kingdom of Christ?